George Long. I would like to share with you the lesson George Long taught me. George was tall and lanky and 80 years of age. Although George used a cane and was slightly stooped, he walked with a strong, steady gait. He lived in Mrs. Baker's rooming house, a half-hour walk from the mission. Every evening, he made his way to the Union Gospel Mission, an incredible distance to walk for a man who was in his 80th year. Except on extreme, inclement weather conditions, George would be present at the mission. The mission was where George had found the Lord. The mission was his church. The mission was where he could hear the word preached, his style, simply. The messages at the mission were always simple. They were redemptive messages with the power to change people's lives, which was frequently evidenced. George was always faithful, always punctual. He lamented the carelessness of some church groups that on occasion would forget their scheduled appointment. When opportunity was given during the service for a testimony, George would be the first to his feet to praise the Lord for his unfathomable love and unfailing faithfulness. His testimony was always instant and precise. Volunteers who served in the chapel service were noticeably impressed by the maturity of his faith that rang out loud and clear whenever he spoke. He needed no amplification. His voice was strong, and his words never left a doubt that George walked with the Lord and trusted him unconditionally and without reservation. The staff encouraged George in his spiritual growth. When the weather grew too cold and snow or ice made walking impossible, the kitchen was sometimes encouraged to take a supper over to George. His supreme delight was a jellied salad. Volunteers who visited him shared a short devotional with George, and George would never neglect to express his gratitude most profusely. He was grateful for the smallest and the most insignificant gestures of kindness. George had spent many years with the railroad. He regretted the many years in his life that he had wasted. He had never married, and his remark on one occasion was that in his younger years he had been far too selfish a man to ever have made a successful husband. He certainly would have failed rearing a family. After the many years with the railroad, George had no savings. All his earnings had been spent on frivolous and selfish pursuits. Christ had not been in his life. After yielding to the Lord, George was a changed man. He loved his Bible. He studied it fervently. He loved the fellowship at the mission. It dispelled his loneliness. The prayers he prayed were most passionate and always included intercession for those on the street. He was truly a prayer warrior for the work of rescue. On one occasion, George was not happy with a message that had been preached by a volunteer gentleman. With a look of concern bordering on scorn, George shook his head, raised his finger with the dynamics of an umpire, and he blurted out, "Dead men preach dead sermons, and sermons without life kill." George had the spiritual discernment to assess the speaker's genuineness and how well the speaker had prepared his message. There were times he voiced his serious concern. No one or to one youthful speaker, he tactfully and graciously asked whether his message was based on fabricated theory concocted in his own little head or on the Word of God. And on that occasion, he had every right to ask. To many, he was a fatherly figure who considered the commission of preaching an awesome responsibility for which the speaker would one day have to give an account. One evening, after the service, I offered George a ride home, and to my surprise he accepted. Ordinarily, he was very independent. He spoke profusely while we drove. He was concerned about messages often preached that were weak in conviction and lacking in rescue mission compassion. Before leaving the car, he made me a promise. Every time I would be preaching, that meant every Sunday night, George would support me in prayer. After that momentous evening, every Sunday night when I walked to the pulpit, George would signal to me with a meaningful nod, which I knew meant he was praying for me all the while I was speaking. Truly, George was an inspiration. One Sunday night, George was not in his usual place. During the following week, the superintendent phoned me. George has been mugged and he's in the hospital. Have you time to visit him? I walked to the room number that the information desk had given me. Propped up by many pillows sat a man, unrecognizable. His eyes were swollen shut, his face was twisted, and his lips, chin, and cheeks covered with stitches. Threaded through his skull was a steel bolt pulling his broken jaws and cheekbones together. His head was totally bandaged. The part of his face that was showing was brown, green, purple, all the colors of the dark side of the spectrum. I stood at the door awestruck, mesmerized, shocked, motionless, speechless. Could this be George? I finally found my voice. George, is it really you? George either recognized my voice or his right eye might not have swollen completely shut. He gave me a nod. George, tell me what happened. George spoke through the side of his mouth, which had less stitches. Mrs. Baker has lilac hedges in front of her home, except at the gate. And when I walked through the gate, three guys jumped me. They beat me to the ground. They stomped on me. They broke my ribs. They kicked my face in. They took my wallet. Did you carry a great sum of money, George? What did you lose? George found it hard to speak through all his stitches covering his lips and cheeks. They had broken his dentures, which made his enunciation so much more difficult. How much, George, did you lose? George thought for a while. Well, not more than $8. Would you recognize them, George, if you saw them? Oh, sure. I see them often on the street. I've even seen them at the mission in the soup line. But who's going to believe an old man like me? Listen, George, when you get well enough to leave this hospital, I'll put you in my car and we'll drive up and down the streets. We'll visit every bar. We'll comb the streets. We'll search the strip until we find those guys that mugged you. And we will bring them to justice, however long it takes. We'll find them, George, and we will see that they get justly recompensed for their crime. George motioned with his hand for me to sit on the chair beside his bed. I sat down. I could see he wanted to speak. It was painful to see him try to make words. He spoke out of the side of his stitched-out mouth. Henry, I have listened to you for many years. I never once interrupted your preaching. Now it's my turn to preach to you. Just sit there and keep your mouth shut until I'm finished. You take me in your car, like you said, and we'll drive to every bar. We'll find the guys that jumped me, and I will confront them. They'll recognize me. They know me. And I already know what I'm going to say to them. Here's what I'll say. So you guys jumped me for $8. You owe me. So listen to what I've got to say to you. You are the biggest cowards I've ever met. But let me tell you, I jumped a guy once. Henry, they will listen to me. What you did to me can't compare, can't even come close to what I did to the guy I mugged. I spat on him. I flogged him. He was bathed in his blood. When I was through, he was unrecognizable like me. Then I nailed him to a cross. I crucified him. And when he was hanging on the cross, guess what? He prayed for me. He did. He prayed to his father. He said, "Father, forgive George, because George doesn't know what he's doing." And I will say, because he forgave me, I will forgive you guys too. And I want you to know that the sufferings and crucifixion of Jesus was for guys just like you and me. You guys know very well that what you did was wrong. God saw you do it. God calls it sin, and all sin has to be punished. Listen, guys, Jesus came and took your punishment for you. You are forgiven if you want it, if you ask for it. If you accept his forgiveness and salvation, you become a child of God. You will be a Christian. George reached out his hand. He was searching for my hand. We clasped hands. Henry, until we find those guys, I'll be praying for them so that when I find them and tell them what I have just told you, God's Holy Spirit will have prepared them to listen and to accept God's gift. I gladly suffer this pain in exchange for the opportunity to present to them Jesus Christ, who died and suffered for them.